early on in my career, I started what I would call back then bending the law or creatively articulating a report, just making sure that charges stuck when I wasn't quite sure if they would on their own. I felt like it was my job to paint the clearest picture for the juror, for the judge, or for the prosecutor. And what started as, you know, creative articulation eventually led 4.5 years later to full-blown corruption.
Well, that was Andrew Collins. He's the co-author of the book Convicted. You will have to listen to today's culture segment to get the rest of that. Later on in the show, too, a girl is jealous of her friend and cannot get over it. You know you've been there, too. So I will have the chance to answer that because I've been there. Okay. So we're gonna get down and dirty on that one. But here we are for our roundtable. We have got Jake, Catherine, and Matt here. Hey, guys.
What a bee.
All right. Great to have you. Matt, our friend from Axis.org. Fabulous. Catherine, our producer. And Jake, who also works here at Focus on the Family, primarily in social media, but we prefer to refer to him as our married guy.
Token married guy.
I'm the token outsider, so it's okay.
Yeah, that's true. You are the token outsider.
There it is.
That's okay. Until we just get mad at one of the two of them, and then we'll cast them out somehow.
And then we'll be the token outsiders.
Then we can be the token outsiders.
On the outside.
Pretty much.
There's a great Lecrae song called Outsiders, by the way.
Well, speaking of outsiders and casting people out, today we're going to talk about forgiveness.
We're gonna, Seven Circle.
And this is like, okay, I think a lot of people think of forgiveness and they think like, Jesus forgave me. You know, I mean, they think of these like big things, and certainly there are big things to forgive and to be forgiven of. But we're just going to talk about that everyday forgiveness kind of stuff. And it could be like hard issues. It could be tough stuff. It could be deep stuff. But sometimes it's just the fact that we are sinful people and we're dealing with sinful people. And you think that you're all great and that you can relate to people well. And then someone just ticks you off and all of a sudden you are a crazy person. So, and I'm not talking about myself, of course, but I figured I would help you guys.
Oh, yeah.
So my first question. I have a friend. This is from my friend. So I have a question just to kick this off. And that is, when you think of forgiveness, what is the hardest thing about forgiveness for you, either in giving it or in receiving it? What just can you not get your mind around or just trips you up every time?
For me, it's my own pride. In a weird way, I didn't even recognize it as pride for many years, but it's in forgiving myself or accepting forgiveness for myself, whether it's in small ways from other people or really the one that's been very difficult for me over the course of my lifetime has been accepting the idea that God forgives me and that His grace covers over, you know, all of my sins, because I grew up in the church. I grew up a Christian. I've been in Sunday school since I was a baby. And so I knew the rules. I knew the right answers. And so every time I would sin, big or small, in my mind, it was, I know better. I shouldn't have done that because I did that. I'm kind of unforgivable. I'm rejecting that grace that God's given. And so especially when I got into, you know, hit puberty and started wrestling with lust and pornography. That was a huge one that I, for years, and still even in ways, am tempted to not forgive myself because I should know better. I shouldn't have fallen into this sin.
Mm-hmm. And kind of that idea that God's going to come back to you every time and be like, Jake, I knew you'd mess up again.
Right.
I knew you couldn't do it right. I knew you couldn't. Yeah. No, that's for real. Okay. Catherine, how about you?
It's hard for me to understand how I can release something but still learn from it because I'm very into always being better. I'm a perfectionist. I am always about, like, I make great grades. And so I'm always, like, try to look at every situation as a learning opportunity. But it's hard for me to, if I forgive myself or someone else, to find the balance of, I'm going to remember this so I don't do it again. Or so I understand better next time, but also I'm not going to remember this in a way that makes me bitter about myself or about that person. So I don't know. That's just a hard balance I haven't found yet.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of the remembering sort of perspective here too, because part of it for me is that I just expect it to be instant. I mean, I think I want my acceptance of it to be instant if I'm the one receiving it, and I want myself to forgive others instantly too, if that's the scenario. But often, you know, you want to hang on to it for a while. You want to pet this little grievance that you've gotten and cuddle with it for a little bit and hold on to it. But then you're not supposed to, right?
Well, and I think speaking of that, of kind of like coddling it and whatever, I think mine comes down to control, because for me, it's like my whole thing is with other people, like this fear, even of God himself not doing the right thing. Like if I don't bring this up, if I don't make sure that these people know that they wronged me or that they did, especially if I don't see repentance and I don't see change, then I'm like, well, who's going to teach them a lesson? I need them to know. Like my sense of justice is so strong that I'm like, I need them. I'm going to be like the, you know, going after the Catherine person. I need you to learn a lesson from this. I need you to change. I need
yes,
to see
exactly.
change. And
that's
if I don't I see, and I don't want this person to mess up
God
again because they should have learned it.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And so this whole idea of like, what if God doesn't, you know, what if God doesn't teach them through this? What if God doesn't, does God really have this? What if he just blows it off and doesn't care and I care? So I got to show
right,
them.
Exactly.
So it's just all, it's all kinds of crazy, you guys. I mean, totally nuts. Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about, because again, we're just talking about, you know, everyday forgiveness. That could be the title of this. Everyday forgiveness, because I think there is an aspect of this that is every day. I mean, the way to live the Christian life is to repent and forgive daily. I mean, we are constantly needing to. If you don't have something to be repenting of, people, I don't think you're very self-aware. Okay, let's just be honest with that. But what about this idea? I think there's a tension, and I want to throw this out there. This idea of forgiving and forgetting. This idea that if you forgive someone or you yourself are forgiven, then all of a sudden it just means like, boop, we don't talk about it anymore. It doesn't affect anyone. It doesn't matter anymore. How do you wrestle with that tension?
It's hard. I mean, I don't know if there is ever a place you get where you totally forgive someone and don't remember what they do. I mean, unless you actually, you know, hit your head or something, but I don't know.
Yeah, I've always struggled with this. Like, I don't fully understand what the whole forgive and forget paradigm really looks like in the real world. I think, like, it's good to remember our failures. It's good to remember the errors we've made in the past so that we don't remember them again. But, you know, it at some level, too, they're erased, so they don't matter. Mm-hmm. So,
and it's like the thing where if someone says, don't think about the Eiffel Tower, someone said this to me the other day, what do you think about the Eiffel Tower? So if you're like, right. don't remember that, you know, sin I did, you're going to keep thinking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's another example of how we struggle with nuance as human beings. We like the black and the white. It's either you forget it and it's gone entirely, or you remember it and you hold on to it and it becomes a grudge, it becomes bitterness. And it's almost like, in a sense, we tend to want to believe one or the other. It's easier to live in that black and white. Like, either you can totally forget and never mention it again, bury it away, or you can hold on to it, you can pet it, you can feed it, and let it turn into a monster. Mm-hmm. When I think as with many other things, the truth is somewhere in the middle. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's biblical that God removes our sins and remembers them no more, right? That's right there in the Bible. However, we're talking about God, who's perfect. We're not talking about human beings who are imperfect. Mm-hmm. And who are given these mortal bodies that have wear and tear to them, including mental and emotional wear and tear. Mm-hmm. So those things do stick with us. And I think what I've been learning, and I don't think this is the be-all, end-all of this by any means, but forgetting is a lot less about it being gone and never popping up in your mind again, and is a lot more about not weaponizing it, mm-hmm. either against yourself or against others. Mm-hmm. I think that's what when I think about forgetting someone's sin or forgetting my own sin that I'm trying to accept forgiveness of, it's not using it as a dig against somebody. It's not holding it against somebody. It's not attacking somebody because we know it's a sore spot for them. Or doing that to ourselves. Mm-hmm. So it's forgetting maybe the implications that a grudge would weaponize this pain with, even though we can remember the pain and choose to act more, you know, kindly from it or wisely from it.
I do that. So I have done that so often. I mean, an example came to mind here because my thing is, you know, again, trusting, and I remember talking about this with a friend at one point, this idea of trusting the Holy, with believers, trusting the Holy Spirit in the other person. The fact that the Holy Spirit is always at work, you know, the fact that if they are in tune with the Holy Spirit, they're listening to the Holy Spirit, The Holy Spirit will do his job. Okay, so my thing is, I remember getting in a big argument with a friend, and I remember hearing myself say, the problem is, this is how you always react. You always get angry. You always, and all of a sudden I'm using always
that's
like yeah. six
always
or seven
stated.
Times.
It's easy to right. do. It's always easy
which
to
every
do.
Psychologist tells you not to use. Thank goodness yeah. I'm not a parent, because I'd be like the worst. But I just heard myself like saying this, and I just, even as I was saying it, I was like, this is so unbiblical. This is so unhelpful as a friend. This is so. So I've really had to train myself to not go with the weapons, because I'm very verbal. I can easily just decimate someone and bring up everything, you know, that I feel they need to know, or that has happened in the past or whatever. So that's just a great example of, you know, I'm glad Jake brought that up, because that's me.
Can I feel like, yeah, I feel like when it comes to forgiving yourself, the biggest practical thing that I found that helps is confession. So the other day I was helping my mom make cookies, and I was rolling out the dough, and I am a control freak, and I think I sort of got it from my mom. So we're both kind of control freaks, and we get along really well most of the time, but sometimes it does, I think, cause us to clash, especially for some reason when we're baking. So I was...
control freaks.
See, I just wouldn't bake with my mom.
I
would just remove the problem.
Pin. So I'm yeah. using the rolling pin, and my mom is like standing over me like, hey, do this. And I, so finally, I was like, right. Mom, I got it, but not in a respectful way. Like, it was awful. I mean, not awful, but it was not nice of me. So
no, that's awful. That's not.
I know. I'm probably okay. not going to heaven
your
now.
Poor
but
mother.
No. So I, after I said that, you know, she got a phone call or something, and the hour moved on, and I felt terrible because I was like, I'm only home for a little bit. I just yelled at my mom for something stupid. Like, that was just bad. Like, why did I do that? She was right about the dough. I was rolling it wrong, and so I mulled over it, and I didn't forgive myself for probably like a good 5 or 10 minutes. So finally, a couple minutes later or whenever, I was like, hey, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have yelled at you like that. And she was like, oh my gosh, you're fine. And so I immediately was like, I can forget it now, because I know that it wasn't a big deal to her. And if I'd have just kept thinking about it, I would have felt like it was a bigger deal.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah. One thing you said a little bit ago was that kind of like you want to teach somebody through the disagreement or the forgiveness.
Yeah, and I'm a teacher at heart.
That's good. You're in the right place.
You get like, an yeah. A for that, yeah. that comment.
But I had an experience with a friend of mine through AXIS. We'd both been on separate traveling teams, and like you join AXIS and there's these four people traveling North America together for 10 months. So it's like this pressure cooker of friendship and interpersonal communication and conflict. Like, everybody gets conflict resolution
and you
training.
You don't know each other before that, right?
No, we're total strangers.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But then we go through like a month of training at the very beginning, and like there's team building stuff. But anyway, we had been on separate teams for the travel year, and we were very good friends outside of that. And we had just left a party together over the summer, and I had been kind of like, in my mind, holding court at this party, like cracking jokes, telling stories, just running the room. And we left and hopped in the car, and he was driving, and there was just kind of this explosion of like, listen, you cannot do this anymore. You cannot talk this way anymore. Because I was like saying stuff about him, and I like cut deep.
Oh, okay.
Into
like using him as the punchline,
like I think kind of okay. To be honest, he brought it up, and it was like this moment of, I need you to apologize for this, because it hurt really bad, and I had no idea I had done it, like mm-hmm. absolutely zero idea. And even as we talked about it for like literally hours afterward, trying to kind of resolve what was happening, to his credit, it was all handled very well. Mm-hmm. Like the whole like conflict approach forgiveness cycle was really handled very well, but I had absolutely no idea. And so perhaps I'm just a very unself-aware person, but I totally learned something about this friend, like a very deep thing about him mm-hmm. and about our relationship, and how like it's changed how we've interacted now for years afterward mm-hmm. To the point where we're still very good friends.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's a good point. And I want to maybe Jake, we can circle back to you, because you were talking before we started taping about when you have got, you know, something that you struggle being forgiven for, and you referenced, you know, even pornography as a young yeah. adult and stuff like that. Well, then you get married, you've got your wife in the mix who now has to walk. It's not like you can just walk away from her and hope that she's all forgetting.
Right.
She's now in your life and has the power to bring this up or not or yeah. whatever. Tell us a little bit about what that journey's been like.
Yeah. So as I said, you know, I was exposed I didn't say this part, but I was exposed to pornography pretty young. I was 9 years old when I first saw it, and I don't think that's an uncommon story, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But it was something that then, as I hit adolescence, became a problem and something I struggled with and for a couple of years before I found a solid group of guys that I could talk to about it consistently and had a lot of victory in that area. But then I got married. My wife and I were living like in a new town on our own. We had a church, but I didn't have a really good group of guys in this new community. And so a couple of months into my new marriage, I found myself again mired in this old struggle. And after about 2 months, it came out. Thank God it was that quick, you know, relatively speaking. However, now with my wife in the mix, it wasn't just me wrestling with God and saying, oh, woe is me. It's now I caused this deep damage to my wife, my young wife, who now has, you know, all the pain of, was this because I wasn't adequate? Was this because I wasn't doing a good job? Is this because I'm flawed? And, you know, wrestling with that. And then the anger side of it of, you know, he's a jerk. He's awful. He's a terrible human being. Like, there's a lot of emotions that come with it. And it's been a long journey. We've been married 9 years now. You know, so it's 9 years, and it's still something that has to be worked through. Mm-hmm. You know, and we've both seen counselors, and I've done, you know, recovery and things like that, and purposefully surround myself with godly men that I can talk to and be real with. But it's still something that, you know, every once in a while there's still triggers, you know, that will cause those emotions and those memories to come up. So it's not that it's forgotten, even though I'm forgiven, it's not forgotten. And so it still causes pain, and it's still something we have to walk through sometimes when those come up on a daily basis to say, I know this is in the past, I know, but I'm feeling this very real today. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those hit you in inopportune moments when you're frustrated. My wife and I actually within the last 2 weeks, we're having an argument about something else. And then that something, some emotion got brought up in it. And so she brought up another thing she wanted to talk about. And I was still in the anger of this argument about whatever it was, you know, finances or kids or whatever.
Mm, isn't that like the men are like waffles, women are like spaghetti thing, like compartments versus like noodles?
Right.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, and, okay. And so I responded, I didn't realize that this new emotion coming into the argument was from this previous pain that she's forgiven me for. You know, it's not like she was trying to willingly like wield it against me, but it came up and mm-hmm. I reacted to it in the argument about, you know, whatever daily thing it was. And that cut her in an old wound from years ago. Mm-hmm. And so it's something we have to be aware of, especially when we're in a life journey with people, whether it's our parents or our siblings or longtime friends or our spouses, ultimately, that it will still take a humility on our part as both the forgiver and the forgivee years on when those emotions get triggered, because the human brain is an intricate place and mm-hmm. we never know where those emotions are yeah. stored. And so we have to be willing to be humble, even years down the line, to be willing to continue the process well after the fact.
Yeah. It kind of, you know, I like the idea of, I've talked with my boss about this. It helps that he's a counselor. free counseling. But I've talked about this with him a bit, about the value of keeping short accounts. Because I think it's so, like you said, we can get so mired in bitterness and replays of scenarios that other people, like even the perpetrator or whatever, totally forgotten about. We're the ones that are just paralyzed by this. You know, that familiar idea of like, you know, wanting someone to drink poison, but you're the one that really drinks it. You know, you're thinking they're drinking it, but it's killing you. So true. But anyway, what does it look like? I mean, keeping short accounts is awesome, but what do you do? Have any of you had the experience of reaching way back into your past of something that was done against you or vice versa that you realized you probably hadn't dealt with, whether it was something with a parent or a family member or an old school buddy or something, and you're like, what do you do with that kind of stuff when you realize that, oh, that probably did cripple something about me in the way I perceive something or how I've gone about living my life?
Oh, I have a story about that. So this girl who's my good friend now, and I've asked her if I can share about her because our friendship has taught me a lot of things. So when we first started interacting, it was pretty obvious that she didn't like me for some reason. And I, you know, it's okay. But it also, of course, bothers me a lot when I think people don't like me because that's just my personality. And so it really bothered me. And I tried everything to get her to like me. And I tried reaching out to her and we had this deep talk, but it was still just like, nope, she doesn't like me. And so eventually we ended up becoming roommates and we slowly started building this friendship. And it was all kind of going better. And then we had another day where we were at this like college event, basically. And she was acting again like she had before. And I was like, what did I do? Why does she suddenly not like me anymore? And it was eating me up. And so even though it had been like a year since she had originally expressed those feelings of disliking me. So finally, a couple of days later, I went into your room and I was like, listen, I have to apologize. I have been holding this bitterness against you for almost a year because I felt like you didn't like me and it hurt my feelings. And I'm sorry for whatever I did that made you feel that way. And I'm sorry that I've been holding this against you for so long. And it was like, it seemed dumb to even bring it up because it had been so long ago. And really what I was really angry about was the one day recently, but she was like totally apologetic and totally cool. And we cried and hugged. And it was one of those moments where like the orchestra, like crescendos. No, but it was cool. And I was so scared to bring up the past, but it was so healing in that moment to do that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know. I kind of have like this deep-seated sort of insecurity of thinking that people don't want me to be involved in something and that things will crop up with that every now and again. And it's like always this moment of like, all right, this isn't even about forgiveness. I'm way off track. But it's just kind of this moment of like a self-check of like, okay, like you're throwing in a lot of thoughts here that aren't really true, probably. You don't know all the facts. You don't know what's going on. If I'm not careful, I will hold bitterness against these people who are like good friends of mine or good family of mine. And for no other reason than I'm just like perceiving that something is happening.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And in reality, like nothing.
I struggle with that too.
Yeah.
But I think what it comes back to is even if they did do something wrong, you have to apologize for me. I had to apologize for my sinful response to her sin because it's not like it made it better, you know?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, and I think just as we wrap here, the one thing I want to say too is there will be times when you have to let go of stuff. You have to forgive in the sense, and it may not be a verbal forgiveness. It may not be sitting down and like working out all the details or whatever, but you may have to let something go where that person has never come to you and asked for forgiveness. And quite frankly, they may totally disagree with you that they're in the wrong or whatever went on. I have a couple guys that I dated that I truly feel like wronged me in the relationship. And I remember like holding on to it. And not only did I hold on to it, but I made sure that all my friends constantly knew how horribly they treated me. So that, because I didn't want, as soon as any of my friends started like feeling, you know, being nice to these guys, then I'm like, oh no, remember what he did. I mean, I was just crazy.
Right.
Crazy town. Anyway, so I had to let that go. And I remember feeling when I finally felt that feeling of forgiveness was when I could start wishing well for those guys. What's God doing in their life? I hope they're doing okay. I hope maybe they've gotten married now, whatever. I was just able to let it go, realize their story no longer needed to be part of mine. I did not need to be all in their heads or vice versa. And I found that that was truly freeing. So just a final caveat there. Sometimes you do have to let go when it's just your end of the rope. You don't know if the other person's holding on to their end still, but you are not responsible for them before God. You guys, thanks so much for all the personal stories. This was really helpful.
Yeah, thank you. Always happy to.
Absolutely.